It's 1 o'clock.
Is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the wonderfully gorgeous Amanda Flanders.
Hello.
Hello. It's a bit breathy, that. She's just run up the stairs, listener. Yeah, she's literally just piled through the door going, sorry, I'm late.
Well, I thought, you know, I was replacing Jules, so I'll do a typical Jules and turn up just on time.
Well, Jules is always an hour early.
No, she's not. She's never been an hour early in her life for anything.
Cool. You're right.
We'll be in a minute.
Get yourself settled, dear.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. I want to say a big thank you to this week's show sponsor, the Business Bunker Radio Show, is pleased to partner with leading employment law firm, Locke Associates. They'll be bringing us regular news, information and help with employment law, health and wellbeing at work. You can find out more about Locke Associates by going to their website, which is lockassociates.co.uk, and that's Locke, spelled L-O-C-H. Right.
Can't remember what my Twitter handle is. What's my Twitter handle?
Amanda J. Flanders is your Twitter
name. Is it?
Yes, yeah.
I've had so many in the past, I can't remember which one. And
it's been a bit busy this week.
Well, I know, that's why I wanted to get on and want to see those. I see some, the gifts have started coming in already, which is great.
Absolutely. While you get yourself sorted out, I'm going to read a couple of things, yeah?
Okay.
I wanted to bring this to your attention. The fantastic Mr. Robert Richardson, who is the chief executive of the Institute of Hospitality. He, along with a lady called Rose O'Brien, is doing a walk of hope. And they're walking for a charity. It's a charity fundraiser for brain tumour charity. And it's taking place next weekend. And Robert says, it's a charity close to my heart, and any pennies you could share would be truly appreciated. Their Just Giving page is justgiving.com. Rose and Robert's Walk of Hope page. That's justgiving.com. Rose and Robert's Walk of Hope page. Do check that out. Find out what they're doing. And if you can, see your way to donating a couple of pennies, they would really appreciate it.
Fabulous.
Well, good. We've got some fantastic guests on the show today, and we're going to be introducing them shortly. Have you sorted out your Twitter now?
Well, sort of.
Have you got a tweet to read, or you can read an email if you want, because they're easier.
I've got a tweet from the fabulous Bev and Tony from Chips and Dinks, saying, and their first with the gifts today. Thank you. Get those gifts coming in. You know we like a gift. A show to look forward to, live or catch up with Amanda Flanders. Amanda Flanders has dismounted to support Vanilla Webb in the studio today. If people don't know, I ride horses, that's what they mean. Just in case they were worried.
What are you trying to say there?
Well, people could take it a different way, couldn't they?
Well, they probably could have done, yeah. Cool. Okay, yep, so you're fully dismounted and in the studio.
Indeed.
And I did have a quick chat with Bev this morning and said that we will be needing their services. I didn't go into any detail.
They can't help.
Oh, they can't?
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes.
Yeah, never mind. Amanda's finally managed to do something that they can't fix.
Yes, well, it's because it's a light and they can't replace lights.
Yeah.
They're reversed into a skip. Yes, I broke my light.
It's not good, is it, Phil? It's not good.
To be fair, I wasn't very well. In my defence.
Yeah, I'm not going to go there. I've had a request from the lovely Mandy at Recruitment Southeast. And they are looking for, everybody's looking for workers, but they're looking for harvest workers and grape pickers. And there's 2 weeks' work in October. You must be able to drive, and there's several sites that you can work at in Maidstone, Hawkhurst, Wittersham, Peasmarsh and Tenterton. They're paying £10 an hour plus. You need to be physically fit and able to do the whole stint in all the weathers, and you must be able to drive to the location, so therefore you need to be over 18. They say it's great camaraderie, fantastic company, and if you're interested in getting some seasonal work, you can call them on 01580 234 800. That's 01580 234 800, or you can email them at seasonalworkers@recruitmentsoutheast.co.uk. That's seasonalworkers@recruitmentsoutheast.co.uk.
I'm looking for biscuits, but Jules has eaten them all.
You're after the biscuits.
There it is, empty.
I don't know what's up on the top there. There's a bag of sweets up there. I don't know who they belong to. And there's some marshmallow things there as well.
They're all gone as well. Jules has eaten all those.
Has she eaten a lot? I never touched any of them. I really didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Do you want me to do an email?
Yeah, go on.
Get going with your networking with Two Marsh Network events that offer you the chance to grow your network and your business. The next Marsh Network Online is at 10:30 next Wednesday, the 29th of September, where you will meet businesses from across Kent, Sussex and beyond. A number of new attendees are already booked on to join them. Book at www.marshnetwork.co.uk and select Marsh Network Online, choose the date and book on.
Sorry to interrupt, but it's you can also physically go as well. It's a hybrid event.
Yes, let me finish reading it.
Okay. It doesn't say that.
Okay.
Go on.
What was the other one then?
No, finish reading it.
Oh, I don't finish. There's no point reading me the other one because that was the 16th of September and that's already gone.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, the next one is now a hybrid event. So it's part of, you can do it online or you can be there. But if you go to the same link that Amanda just gave you, it has all the details there now.
Well, I'm just about to say, isn't it fabulous that we can get out face to face again?
It certainly is.
Networking is out and face-to-face.
We're going to be talking to Phil about that later as well.
Face-to-face.
Yeah. Phil Wilson is our guest in the first part of the show today, and we're going to be talking to Phil about all those kind of things, getting back out into the world.
Fabulous.
And doing lots of things. There's a Women in Construction networking lunch at the Southeast Construction Expo. It's chaired by Cheryl Corsbrook. And she's going to be in conversation with Amy Goff and Sue Nelson. And you're going to hear from two really successful women share their stories about work in the construction industry. And this is taking place on the 21st of October at the Construction Southeast event at Arding Rye in East Sussex. And it's a great way for women to meet, share and network. If you want to find out more about it, the website is constructionexpouk.co.uk. That's constructionexpouk.co.uk.
There you go.
There you go.
We've had Michael Park Surveyors. Are they in South Africa?
Steph, who does their social media, is in South Africa, yes.
Yes.
Mm.
It looks very nice and sunny there, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? They're flaunting it, aren't they?
Well, it's nice and sunny here today as well.
It is, but you know what it is today? Officially?
Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, and it is also the last day of summer.
Oh, is it?
Tomorrow is officially autumn.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, but weather's supposed to be nice all week. So we should be all right.
Good.
Just getting chilly out. It's noticeably chilly, certainly, isn't it?
I like a chilly.
Do you like a chilly? Oh, well, funny enough, that's what we've got for dinner tonight.
Mm.
Tweet from DG East at DG East 1 on the Twitter. How about a shout out for a severely frustrated business trying to contact their bank? Over 30 minutes wasted only to be put back in the queue. Asked to visit my local branch, however, the two nearest have been closed. Oh, that's just like, says it all really, doesn't it?
Do you know what? During last week, I had the most horrendous problem with my bank, HSBC, who are utter rubbish. Sorry, there's no other way of describing it. They were appalling. And whoever devised their online system should be taken out and summarily executed because they are appalling. They are really badly designed and they are not customer centric at all, and I'm very, very annoyed with them.
I think that's the trouble, though. We've always said it before with big, these big businesses. They put everything computerised and centralised, and you're not speaking to people who actually care or give a shit.
Yeah.
And, oh, did I swear? Sorry. But it's true, they don't. And then it's really difficult, and everyone gets frustrated. It's like, what can we do?
Yeah. No, absolutely. And this particular thing, the actual software that they've designed doesn't actually work. You know, it's got loads of errors, and it takes you to errors, and then it moans at you because you haven't filled it in, but then it won't let you fill it in, and all kinds of stuff. They've clearly never tested it on someone that's not in the IT department. They've clearly never customer tested it, and it's just appalling. It's just absolutely appalling.
These big businesses need to sort themselves out.
Okay, so I'm going to find a tweet now, I think. Neville Gaunt said, have fun in the Business Bunker studio today, Paul and Amanda, on the Business Bunker show. So thank you for that, Neville.
Thank you, Neville.
You've done the chips and dinks. Paragon Drones, good afternoon, Vanilla Web. Looking forward to another great Business Bunker show, and a mention would be fantastic. Thank you. So happy to mention Paragon Drones. Drone services... but they also do a really interesting thing. They do confined space droning.
Why would you want to drone a confined space?
Well, like pipelines and inside buildings and stuff.
Ooh.
Places that are difficult for a human to get.
Ah.
Mm. And Martin at Martin Reeves at Collector's Buddy. Hi, Paul and Amanda. Looking forward to learning more about the Kenwood Trust today on the Business Bunker show. They're our guests in the second half of the show. Could we have a shout-out? Yeah, of course you can. Martin runs a Twitter handle called Buddy_Museum. And what he does is he finds collectibles and he sells them on eBay. And the profit he makes, he uses to fund charities. If you're looking for a pen, there's one up on the side in front of you.
Oh, I've got one in my bag as well. Okay. I'm a woman, I always carry... Oh, there's a whole pot of them in front of us. Yeah. Yeah. He's looking for a pen and there's a whole pot of pens right there.
Yeah, I think you need paper more than the pen.
Oh, well, we've got both now. a tweet from King Stevens, the care lady at Caring Kent. I'd love a shout out, Business Bunker, for Chloe and the care in Kent at home care workers in Ashford and Folkestone. Thank you to the home care teams who work tirelessly for the needs of our clients to ensure that they feel comfortable, safe and secure. If you see us out and about, give us a wave. Yes, definitely. Well done to Caring Kent. So many people now. Just like the care industry is really suffering, isn't it? Trying to find people to work for them. And
absolutely. I saw a report by Forbes magazine, the American business magazine, last week, predicting the five biggest growth areas in terms of work over the next decade. And they are sustainability, eco-type stuff, healthcare, hospitality, and driving and delivery. All the things we're struggling with at the moment in terms of shortages, which is no surprise because those industries are growing massively at a time when we don't have enough people to do jobs. And that's the problem.
I'm a bit worried. Our petrol station didn't have any petrol this morning.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
It had a big sign out. I was saying, no fuel. I'm like, oh, my God. And then we had without gas, I didn't know without the petrol.
Well, I suppose they haven't got anyone to deliver it again. That's the problem. One of us has got an email to read about that later on as well, about a local company that has started a driving academy to train HGV drivers quickly.
Quickly? I'm a bit worried, though. Well, you know, they're not a small thing to drive, are they? How can you train
them? Well, if you think that's bad, have you seen the government's latest harebrained scheme?
Mm.
They're changing. They haven't done it yet. They're proposing to change the HGV driver test to not bother with reversing because that's the difficult bit.
Well, yes. So as long as you can only drive forward, you'll be fine. I'll be right then. I can drive forward. You definitely just can't reverse. Can you imagine me driving a HGV?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. the skip would be flattened, wouldn't it?
Exactly. No one would be safe.
But how much longer are we going to put up with bonkers politicians that do bonkers things? I mean, they caused the problem in the first place with their stupid IR35 rules and everything else, and then they come up with a harebrained scheme like that, like, you know, not having to reverse an HGV on the test. Really? I don't think they've implemented it. I think it was only a proposal. I hope so, anyway.
But even still, if they're doing quick HGV learning tests to drive HGVs, I mean, I know we need them, but...
Yeah.
Or maybe what you should do is pay a bit more money, so those that are actually qualified, make the hours better, pay them more money, and then get the qualified, experienced drivers back.
Yeah, a lot of people are doing that. The hourly rate has gone up by 20% for a lot of drivers, and then people like Tesco's were paying £1,000 sign-up fees for people to come back. But one of the problems is there's a 100,000 shortage of drivers anyway, because there's just so many driving jobs. And I read a statistic that something like 70% of current HGV drivers are over the age of 50. So they're all coming up to retirement and are retiring.
You haven't got the young people that are taking
And there's
over.
Not young people coming through. And part of that was a few years ago, there was a rule that said you couldn't even start to drive an HGV until you were 25 or so. Yeah, so by then, people have wandered off and got different jobs in different careers. Mm. I'm not suggesting that 12-year-olds should be allowed to drive HGVs, but it would be a laugh, wouldn't it?
Put some stilts on their legs or something.
It would be good fun. Yeah, you wouldn't be able to see, but then you wouldn't need reversing because they couldn't see anyway.
No.
Cool. What you got?
A tweet from the lovely Tracy Ferguson. They're going to catch up with the show because they're having a much needed day off. Her and Mike. They're off to Brighton for some their favourite place for some them time, which is wonderful. But so when you're listening later, Tracy, hope you enjoy the show.
I'm going to play some cheesy tunage in a minute.
How cheesy is it?
Well, it's a bit obvious, really.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it isn't actually that cheesy because it's pretty obvious, and it's probably going to send Phil apoplexy. He's going to go, oh, I don't want to listen to that. I'll tell you what, shall I just go with it?
Go on.
Yeah, go on. See if you can get it. You won't get it because you weren't even born when this came
out. I just realised with my husky voice, I actually sound a bit like Jules today as well.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, but you haven't mentioned anything. Well, you have, actually. I was going to say you haven't mentioned anything about your health, but you have, really, haven't you?
Well,
but it's nothing like as bad. Yes. Phil named that tuning one, and I haven't impressed the button yet.
You know him so well, Phil.
Yeah. Shall we listen?
And then.
Let's go for it.
Your tiger feet. Your tiger.
Tiger Feet, Mud, and of course Phil obviously got it before I'd even press the button, because he would. For those of you today, well, let me introduce him formally. Our first guest on the show today is the wonderful Mr. Phil Wilson, and Phil is a percussionist. That's a drummer to you and me. And Phil, for more than 20 years now, has been a drummer with the 1970s glam rock band Mud, now known as Mud 2, since the sad passing of Les Gray, the former frontman of the band. And Tiger Feet was their big hit.
And I wish I'd had a pound for every time I played that song.
I can imagine.
Actually, I have.
That's all right, then.
Yeah. Actually, I have, yeah. And I said, well, while we were playing it, I said to Phil, you must get sick of this. And he went, no, actually, I quite enjoy playing it, which is lovely.
Yeah. So people go mad for it. They don't really enjoy that kind of stuff. And
it is one of those things about live gigs, isn't it? Is that people like to hear the famous tunes of the band that's playing. I mean, no matter how many.
We could probably open with Tiger Feet and play it all night.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, to just carry on going over and over again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we can't, because they had quite a few hits in the 70s. We try and do most of them.
You're right. Yeah. So Phil is the drummer with Mud 2, but you also drum for a lot of other people. And just recently, you've been on, I want to say tour, because
it's
Lost in Music. Tell us a little bit about that.
Lost in Music is a disco show based around 70s disco hits.
Right.
Sheet, Donna Summer, etc. It's a full production, costume changes. The band is off the scale.
Right.
And I really I'm fortunate to be playing with some really good players, and that makes me pull my own socks up. And Nottingham, we did Nottingham last week, or this Sunday. That was sold out,
right.
And the place went mad. I think the audiences have been like the musicians. They've had 18 months cooped up indoors waiting for their first show. And they've let us know they're enjoying themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's been absolutely chaos. I mean, all the shows we've done have gone really, really well.
Mm.
Right from the very first one, which was an open-air show at Canary Wharf.
Right.
We did that a few weeks ago. Then we've been to Southend. I've been down to Bristol, I think, Southampton, everywhere. I'll need the list of...
Yeah.
I forget where I've been 5 minutes ago. I really have to have things written down. Where have you been? I don't know.
Well, you do so many things as well, don't you, Phil? Yeah. I mean, you were telling me you were playing on the Rocketman thing as well. It's an Elton John tribute.
Well, the company I work for, Entertainers, they have a large number of shows going out there. They have one called The Magic of Motown. There's Rocketman. There's a George Michael one called Fast Love, and I get asked to play percussion on all of those shows.
Right.
But I'm fortunate enough as I only get the bigger shows that have sold well.
Right.
So I generally only get to play big theatres and arenas.
Fantastic.
That have got a lot of people in. So
right.
I'm really being spoilt.
Right.
So it is good fun.
Mm.
Lost in Music is a show like no other, because I've never experienced shows like it when people are on their feet before the first song starts.
Right, okay.
Unless you're going to see a named act like Take That or whoever.
Yeah.
Then people are going to be up and raring to go for the word go. But the moment the lights went out where was I? Nottingham.
Mm.
The place just went crazy. We did Leicester, that was the same, that went mad.
Mm. Right.
And it's hard. And I'm actually still suffering from gig lag.
Right, okay.
So I did Friday in Southend. And went back home to Medway, then up to Nottingham to do that show, then drove back, hotel up there, then drove back. On the Sunday, rather than going to bed, I went out to the Hazlitt in Maidstone to see Gary Delaney.
Right.
So it was another late night, and yesterday I just couldn't function.
Surprise.
I'm really out of practice.
Yeah.
And yet before lockdown, sometimes I'll do six gigs on the bounce with five different shows.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be all over the country, I've got to take tons of equipment because I need the percussion rig for this show, the drum kit for that show, more items of percussion for the Elton John show because there's more stuff I use on that show.
Right.
I've got six suit carriers which we picked up in boot fairs and place, because if I get six shows out, I've got to have six separate costumes all in the right back.
Yeah.
It keeps everything tidy, and without my amazing wife this would not happen. So she should be working from home at the moment, but I think she might be online. So hello darling, and thank you ever so much for all your help, because I just could not do this.
Big shout out to Sarah. Well done, Sarah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
amazing.
Yeah.
Because I would have left me last March.
Right.
I would have had enough of this. I'm off. But she stayed there. And you know, it is teamwork.
Yeah.
She can remember dates. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, she has to make sure I've got my trousers on before I leave the house. It has got to that state sometimes.
Right.
What I want to know then is if all these different shows, do you sometimes play the wrong thing in the wrong show?
The only time I've done that was on a Mud 2 show. In fact, it was with Les Gray.
Right.
It was a concert in Frankfurt. Not Frankfurt, at... I've forgotten now. But it's a big fifth... Antwerp. There's a place there called the Sports Palace. It's an 18,000-seater. And it was sold out. We were there with the Sweet and loads of other bands from 70. I was there with Les, and we closed the show. We'd said in passing he was going to start his set with The Cat Crept In.
Right.
But he changed it to starting it with O2. But I didn't get the message. So when the compere introduced, you know, Mud on the stage now, Mud, I kicked in with The Cat, and Les gave me just one of the funniest looks. He saw the funny side of it.
So what happened? Did you go with being louder because you're the drummer? Did we go with Cat Crept In? Or?
No, because it would mess up all the lighting cues and everything. Right, right. So we just stopped him, had a laugh, and I said, "I'll get me coat." And I walked off the drum riser. We went down well. We got a laugh and went on, and we started. But it does happen very rarely, but things do go wrong.
Yeah.
But it's how you recover from them.
Yeah, of course.
It's the same with customer service.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with things going wrong with banks, as you said. That doesn't concern me at all. It's how they deal with it.
It's how they deal with it. Always, always, always.
Go wrong. You wouldn't be able to buy spare parts for cars unless they went wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so things are going to go wrong sometimes. I've had drums fall over on stage.
Really?
Right. I had a bass drum once, nearly walked off a 4-foot riser in Germany. We had to glue that down with gaffer tape and hammer and nails. You know, so things do happen.
Yeah.
But you just ride with it and have fun with it, because the audience enjoy it. They love seeing things going wrong.
Exactly, yeah.
You know.
Exactly. You know, you're right. You know, we were talking before the show started here. I used to work as a speaker on the speaking circuit. Very similar there. Things go wrong. You know, you walk out on the stage with your flies undone, or, you know, a bodily malfunction of some kind.
Never wear a grey suit on stage.
Yeah. Exactly.
I saw a malfunction the other night. I went to see Gary Delaney in Maidstone. And a couple of years ago, I started to write a book about public talking, presentation, speaking. I've had to get it done, actually. Because I'm so hell-bent on things not going wrong, or if they do, you can recover from it.
Yeah.
And I've always said, take your own markers, take your own clickers for your laptops, take spares, this, that and the other.
Yeah.
His clicker went down. He didn't have a spare one.
All right, okay.
He got them mixed up. So, but it, you know, at that level, it shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
It does. He's a professional comedian. He made light of it.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm thinking, oh, that shouldn't have happened, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It does. It happens at every level.
Yeah. You know? Oh, I always tell this story. Many, 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 many years ago, when I worked for a bank in technology, we had a presentation from a company that were presenting, this is how long ago, one of the very first digital telephone exchanges that they were trying to sell. And their presentation went completely wrong. And the guy, without batting an eyelid, just carried on with an hour's presentation with no slides at all, just describing in the air what we would have been looking at if the slide had been on the screen. And we all just sat there gobsmacked, because obviously we couldn't see anything. And he's going, and as you can see, it flows from A to B, and then it goes through this switch here. And we're going, well, there's nothing there. And he just carried on. He just went for it. And it was amazing to watch him do this. We didn't learn a thing, obviously, but but he got through it. So as you say, Phil, it's not when it goes wrong, because everything has an element of going wrong at some point. It's how you handle it when it has. Yeah. I want to just chat. I mean, we're going to talk to you about your new program that you've produced, which I'm really excited about, and I'm sure you're excited about, and we want to find out. But of course, we want to also hear about your
gossip.
The gossip and all the music stuff. But first and foremost, of course, the music industry, like the events industry, was incredibly badly hit by the lockdowns when everything was just cancelled. So, tell us how that affected you during the last 18 months or so.
We got we got really hit badly. It started to feed in March, because I was on. I'd done a gig with Lost in Music in Hull, and then the drummer from the Rocket Man show couldn't do the show for some reason. So Jimmy asked me if I'd play drums on it. I'd never played drums on that show before, just percussion.
Right.
But I've been working with him for a couple of years. I was fairly comfortable with the material, so I did some homework for a complete day, so it would be as right as it was. And it was at the Winter Gardens Margate.
Right.
And it was sold out. Only 50% of the audience turned up.
Wow, okay.
That's when we first noticed that this COVID was going to actually impact quite a lot.
Right.
We then went to see a friend of mine's show, a Tina Turner tribute show in Tunbridge Wells, and that was the same. Virtually nobody turned up.
Wow.
And you can't generate an atmosphere with a music show where there's nobody in the audience.
Yeah.
And then everything... stopped. We had all the gigs pulled, and everything went quiet. But everyone was something. I've been through emails, and I've seen things of people saying we should be back to normal by July.
Yeah,
yeah. That changes to August, and that changes to so and so,
I said to Amanda, it'll all be over by June.
Yeah.
And it was horrendous. I mean, the year before was my busiest year.
Right.
And I had lost 145 shows or something.
Right.
But some people have lost a lot more, so I'm not complaining. We've been able to recover from it, but just to fill the information, you know, how it's affected us. I tried other things. I got a job with Hermes. That lasted 4 days.
You give it a try.
I gave it a try. The people that are driving now for all these companies, like Hermes, DHL,
DPD,
DPD, Amazon, you know. When they deliver your package, just say thank you.
Yeah.
They're flat out. I had, on my training day, I had something like 35, 40 packages to deliver. The following day, I had over 100 on the second day. Third day, I had the ones I hadn't delivered, plus the following days. It came out to about 160 packages. And I phoned Sarah up at lunchtime and said, you've got to come and help me, Matt Reed or something. You know. So she came out. We were left with 20 packages at 10:30 at night.
Wow.
Oh God.
So I went home and went back to the bay the following day, and I had another 170 odd to do. That came up to nearly 200 drops. And I just lost it.
Yeah.
My head exploded, and I thought, I can't do this. But the office staff at Hermes were so understanding. They were amazing.
Right.
I thought I was going to get slagged off and this and the other, you know, it's only a job, in the van. But they were brilliant.
Right.
I had a cup of tea and a chat with them. And I said, I really can't do it. I said, reverse your van into the dock. We'll unload it for you. Then you can just go home and have a rest.
Mm.
I said, anytime you want to come back, please come back.
Well,
and
okay.
they were brilliant.
Right.
So, you know, please, whenever if you get a delivery, you know, sometimes I might be in a strange place.
Mm.
Always check. I mean, I never put any in a bin. But when I first started doing it, they were insisting on signatures. But now they've got so many deliveries to do.
Yeah.
There just isn't time in the day to actually do that.
And also COVID. So for a while, they were prevented from talking to you anyway. So they had
to put it on the step and then stand back.
Yeah.
The doorbell, stand back and wait for them to take it. And then you just take a photograph of the item. But credit to those girls and boys who are out doing that, because they are doing us a massive service.
Yeah,
they
absolutely.
Really
nice one. So how are things looking on the gig circuit now, Phil? Is it starting to come back?
It's getting better. We still have some gigs moved. I had 4 or 5 gigs moved in the first 2 weeks back, because the brass section tested positive for COVID in one of the shows.
Oh, God.
So it's always the brass section. It's never anybody else.
Yeah. it's all that purse in their lips, isn't it?
That's what it is.
Yeah.
You can't take them in. They're always touching things. So we lost a bunch of shows because of that.
Right.
But now they're behaving themselves. And it's starting to pick up again. I've got about 12 or 13 shows left for this month. I've got, I think, 15 or so next month coming in, and they're increasing all the time.
Right, okay.
Because sales are down, because people are still haven't got that confidence to go into a theatre and buy it. Especially in a music event where everyone are going to stand up and dance.
Yeah.
You know, we did a show a couple of weeks ago, and people were instructed by the duty manager over the PA just to remain seated, and they got booed.
Right.
You know, so you've got no chance of people not getting up and dancing.
Well, the thing is, they've opened nightclubs now, so why can people go...
I think people... I completely understand both sides of the argument, not the argument, both sides of the situation. Some people like to go to a theatre show, sit down, watch and enjoy it in their own way.
Yeah.
That'll make Sarah laugh. There's a long story behind that. but these shows, Lost in Music, before the first songs even got to the first verse, they're on their feet dancing. You know, and I say to myself, they won't be there all night, and they are.
Yeah,
they're there all night.
It's a bit like football, actually. We have all-seater stadiums, but if you go to a football match, I go reasonably often, and within 5 minutes, everybody's on their feet and standing up, and the stewards are running around going, sit down, sit down. And as soon as one person sits down, somebody stands up. You know, it's this, like whack-a-mole.
This, exactly. This happened at Canterbury, and Sarah said to me, it was like watching whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Because when one person stood up, somebody else sat down. And after about halfway through the first set, they just gave up. They just couldn't do it. I think Sarah said she saw a couple of people leave, and I completely understand that. If you're uncomfortable with it, and you know, we couldn't change the music because people have paid money to come and see 70s disco.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't do an hour and a half of Leonard Cohen to keep everyone quiet.
Send everybody to sleep. Yeah.
You know, they're there to have a party, so we have to produce that.
Yeah.
And we did, you know. But we're just watching it now. Things are starting to increase.
Yeah.
And as the takings increase and there's more bums on seats, then the chances are I'll get invited back to other shows where they're...
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've got some arenas in this year as well, and some very nice gigs coming up. So, yeah, we're sort of back.
Right.
But... I put a post on social media yesterday morning. This is the first time I've felt 62.
Right.
You know, I just got home from Nottingham and I just wanted to curl up in a ball and cry. Parts of me I didn't know existed were aching. You know, it was horrendous. But I just have to get fit. Back to it and get fit.
Come over all Keith.
Come over all Keith, But it's, yeah... Playing percussion is harder than playing drums because I'm standing up all night.
Just for those of us that aren't musical, what's the difference between what does percussion involve?
Okay, with regards to pop and the sort of shows I'm on, you could sort of say the drums is the bloke sitting down.
Yeah,
percussion is the guy behind congas, bongos, timbales, and any other kind of rubbish he can lay his grotty hands on.
So you're running around hitting things, basically.
Basically running around. I must put a Fitbit on, see how many steps I do through the course of a show. It must be quite a few. Yes, I'm guilty of dad dancing. It's the rules. I wear a hat, I dad dance, because I want to entertain.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I couldn't just stand there with a long face, you know, just hitting stuff. I want to, you know, be part of the show. We there's a phrase in theatre that Sarah introduced me a couple of years ago called the fourth wall. There's an invisible wall from the end of the stage to the audience.
Yeah.
And the craft of good theatre and good productions and shows is breaking down that fourth wall to make the audience part of the show. And we try and I'm throwing rocks at the fourth wall, trying to get it down.
Right.
And it gives people nice things to watch and enjoy. You know, and you need to get comments. You know, enjoyed the show. The percussionist was bonkers. That'll do for me. I'll have that.
Yeah, I like bonkers.
I'll have that any day of the week. You know.
Yeah.
It's But yeah, we're slowly getting back. But that's the difference between percussion and drums. Drums is a guy sat down doing all the really important stuff for us to get all the credit.
Here's the thing, which do you prefer? Or is it
both exactly equal?
Yeah, okay.
I love sitting on a kit, playing straight, keeping the rhythm going, keeping the timing in.
Yeah.
You've got more time to watch, whereas on a percussion rig, there's more going on. But I get really upset if things go wrong on stage.
Right.
There's a song. My biggest failure was actually on the Magic of Motown show. There's a song called Tears of a Clown.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I forget who did it actually, but help.
Tears of a Clown. I'll tell you.
Anyway. There's after the intro is repeated five times. There's an ice bell's rung, and it's my job to whack that ice bell.
Right.
And I did this big pirouette, went to whack the ice bell, and missed it.
Mm.
You know, I had the ump for the rest of the gig.
The Miracles.
There you go.
Yeah, Miracles. Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. I'm sure you'd have phoned that in.
Yeah.
Cool. Phil, that's fantastic, and thank you for sharing that with us. I want to kind of move on now and talk about this new programme that you've developed, which is Junk Jam. There's going to be some photographs on social media at the end of this, because Phil's brought in loads and loads of stuff to show us bits of junk that he's brought in.
I thought somebody hadn't taken the rubbish out.
Ah. Phil, why don't you give us an intro into what Junk Jam is all about?
Within my itinerary of stuff that I do drum circles in schools. I do rhythm events for corporates and all kinds of bits and pieces. Mm. And I've been introducing buckets just for a bit of fun.
Right. Really,
buckets and odd items of junk. And it's been going down really, really well. And at the start of the summer holidays, a friend of mine phoned me up and he said, could I go and help him out with an event? Mm. And his event was basically using all buckets.
Okay.
And all barrels, right. and all rubbish. And just for a giggle, I took along my dustbin from the opening ceremony of the London Olympics.
Right.
If you look at it on YouTube, you'll see that a lot of people have got big buckets strapped around their necks and they're whacking those. I was one of the 1,000 guys playing buckets and dustbins. I thought I'll take them along to show that this can happen at this level.
Right.
These aren't just toys. We want to get a rhythm going. And I asked a question. We did three groups during this day, and I asked questions along the lines of, why do you think we were asked to use dustbins and not real drums? Well, the actual answer was because of the volume.
Right.
The Olympic Stadium's quite a small footprint. It holds the same number of people as Beijing, but it was a smaller footprint, so it was more of a contained area.
Mm.
So 1,000 drums kicking off would have been just unbearable.
Right.
Couldn't have coped. That's how I understand it. So we use these drums. But my question was being answered by these youngsters along the lines of, is it because they're recycled? Is it because of the environment? Is it because they were going green? There's all these climate-related issues they were bringing up. And it started a little noise in my head. I think we could actually have some mileage out of this to introduce music to children, but also, you know, introduce environmental issues.
Yep.
So I started to look into it. I spoke to Sarah, and she did some research. She's bonkers on the internet. It's amazing. And what we're doing now is Junk Jam. We're doing lessons on how to make the stuff.
Right.
We're doing lessons on how to play the stuff. But there's a thing that I've learnt now, STEM learning,
right,
which is science, technology,
engineering and maths.
Engineering and maths. Thank you.
Yeah, that's
right. I'd never heard of. But right. We cover all those,
right,
plus music and drama.
Right, yeah.
So we can cover all those subjects, but in a fun way, and getting people to remember that you turn out figures like, those bottle tops will take 500 years to decay into the ground, whatever.
Yeah.
This won't work on radio, but
right.
I'll show you a picture. This is a wind chime made out of bottle tops.
Right.
Now, this will last longer than your school sunshine. When your school collapses in 400 years' time, these have got another 100 years to go.
Mm. If you're on Twitter at the moment, if you look at Phil's timeline, Pip Drums is his Twitter handle, if you look, there's a picture of him wearing it as a wig.
That's a joke. Yeah. So that's the sort of thing we do. And it's reusing rubbish.
Yeah.
And getting, you know, I'm making things out of plastic tubes. This, for instance, is a shaker made out of a yogurt pot.
Right, yeah.
Now, I'm going to put a photograph on my social media of what I've made here.
Right.
With a photograph that I've got of the actual original professional one that you pay 15 quid for.
Right.
It looks exactly the same because you've got shape ideas from a yoghurt pot.
And that, what do you call it?
Jacob.
I wasn't sure we could mention names. Sorry.
For it.
They're two yoghurt pots. Stuck together. Are they just glued together?
Yep.
Yeah.
They're glued together.
And what's inside them, Phil?
Rice. There's rice in these.
Rice.
Cool. A soft sound.
Right.
But then you can put gravel. You can put other pulses in there. It depends what sound you want.
Yeah.
So if you want a soft shaker, a medium shaker, or a harsh shaker,
yeah,
then you can just add whatever ingredients you like, and you can test them out.
Right.
This is a Kenko tin.
Yeah.
That's a bit louder.
You can tell the difference, though.
Yeah.
Between a professional musician, and because I would have just give it to me. I would have just done this with it. I would have just gone.
Exactly, yeah.
No rhythm, just
Yeah, just make a noise.
Let's make a noise with it.
That's awkward. And
whereas Phil goes straight in with rhythm.
I made my men in the throes of making a rain stick.
Right.
And this, again, this is dreadful radio, so I do apologise.
He's got a very big stick in his hand.
A very long piece of, I think it's made out of cactus.
That's amazing.
If I roll it down, you can make it rain as hard or soft as you like. Now, that's the proper one. I'm in the throes of making a 5 metre one out of a piece of downpipe.
Right.
I got out of B&Q for 50p because it was broken.
Right.
So I'm going to make a five. Well, you can't make it 5 metres because it won't fit in my van. So I'm going to make a 3.5 metre rain stick.
Wow.
But what's it got inside it?
Inside that, they're just it's grit.
Right.
Just grit, really?
Sort of grit.
It's just the noise, though.
Yeah. There's
play again, Phil. Play again.
It's a good job Lucy's not here because she's like, I want one of those.
It's all different sizes of grit.
Why does it make that noise?
If you look all the little, if I show you the one I'm making,
I want one.
This is a small one that I make. I'm holding up a brown piece of downpipe with lots of white dots in it. See that? If you look down the middle of it,
right? Yeah.
There's lots of crisscross. That's unwanted lollipop sticks.
Again, okay.
We're stopping them from going to the landfill.
Yeah.
Mm. And as you tip these. This is why we're going to build a YouTube tune.
Right.
Channel,
because it works better on telly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So as you tip it, the items roll down it, but they hit the sticks on the way down.
Yeah,
and that throws them all over the place.
Right.
And because you put different weights in,
yeah,
you could put some crushed shells in there. Mm. You could put some gravel. It all comes down at different speeds.
Mm.
And making a different noise.
That's one I use on a professional show. I use that on the rock. Rocket Man show,
right.
At the end of Circle of Life.
Right.
We have lots of atmospheric jungle noises. And I use a rain stick at the end of that just to give us some rain. And it looks interesting.
It sounds amazing.
So there's all kinds of stuff we can do. We've got, I've got probably 60 buckets at home now,
right.
Which we're using as drums. I've picked up.
Are they different buckets? Are they different sizes, different materials?
I've got three different size buckets.
Yeah.
I've brought one in to show you. This is your standard size. This is a standard builder's bucket.
Right.
And how we play it, I play it with discarded practice golf balls. Again, we're saving rubbish. What I've got here is drumsticks that were going to be chucked away because they were bowed.
Right. Okay.
So I've rescued them.
I bet you managed to find a lot of those.
Oh yes. So just hitting the bucket with the drumstick, it's quite a harsh sound.
Mm.
But with the practice golf ball, that doesn't work well. Still sounds quite harsh. You get a softer sound, as opposed to. It's a softer sound, and it's brightly coloured as well.
Yeah.
Now, with the larger buckets, we've got some 210-litre water containers,
right.
Which I picked up off of Marketplace for about 30 quid or something.
Mm.
He was going to sell me three, but he sold me all five for the same price because of where they were going to go, and they're going to be used for education. And they sound awesome.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of galvanised buckets as well, just to give it some real high-end noise, and we've got an incinerator,
right?
Because I could.
Incinerator, as you do.
As we do. But they're just different things that you wouldn't ordinarily think of musical instruments, but you can make, you know, you've only got to go onto YouTube and search out the Blue Man Group.
Mm.
They're making loads of stuff out of everyday items, but they're promoting fun enjoyment of music, which is fantastic. I saw the Blue Man Group in New York, but we're promoting... Yeah, music education, because that's been dropped from quite a lot of schools as well. We're also linking on to drama, because within our presentations we get people to do movement, not necessarily dance, but to move around with their instruments. Then we get children to lead the group as well.
Right.
So it introduces leadership skills.
Yeah.
We do mask. We've got about 60 games I can draw on.
Right.
Yeah.
Sometimes we might only use three in a whole session.
Right.
But because our events go in accordance with the group.
Yeah.
We've done special schools, and they would only do one game, you know, for obvious reasons.
Right.
But they get so much enjoyment out of it. To see these youngsters, you know, who were quite severely disabled, smiling,
yeah.
Because they're part of a huge ensemble, which they've never done before.
Sure, yeah.
They might have played with a toy on their own, but to be in a group of 30 people, you know, yes, they've got carers, nurses in there with them, but to get that rhythm going, rhythm really lifts your spirits.
Yeah.
So we're taking it to, you know, whether they're nursery schools, whether they're just about to leave school, whether it's university, wherever, we're taking it in and we're following the curriculum quite close,
right.
Because we don't want to confuse people.
Yeah,
right. You know, so we're reading the curriculums to do with music, to do with drama, to do with recycling, science, technology, yeah. etc.
Yeah.
So it fits in. So they're seeing something for real,
right.
As opposed to just words on the paper.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the worst at mathematics. Oh. I was dreadful at maths. And then, in just to give you an example, in 1979, I started to learn how to fly aeroplanes.
Right.
So maths is a massive part of gaining a private pilot's licence.
Mm-hmm.
So my maths became amazing. I even surprised myself sometimes,
yeah.
because you're putting it into real use.
Absolutely.
Not just words on a piece of
yeah,
paper.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I was
yeah.
doing calculations in my head, talking to air traffic control at Gatwick or somewhere,
mm.
I'd have to check a calculator to see if my calculations were
right,
because I'd worked it out so quickly.
Yeah.
So it's putting things into reality.
Yeah.
And when they're laughing, when they're enjoying themselves, when they're having fun,
yeah.
Regardless of what their attitudes in schools are like, everyone's the same. You know, I like difficult children.
Mm.
I had one at an event where the whole class came in, and she immediately went on one of the larger drums and banging seven bells out of it. and the teacher went over to tell her off. I said, just wait one second, just give us two ticks.
Mm.
And as the rest of the class came in, I got them playing along with her.
Right.
Then she was putty in my hands. She really was.
Mm.
Just by raising your hands up, you can bring the volume up. Bring the volume down, keep going, stop.
Yeah.
You can make all kinds of hand signals, again, rubbish on radio.
but you can imagine.
And she did everything that she was asked of her.
Yeah.
And then for the rest of the hour session, she was as good as gold.
Right.
And I'm not trained in child psychology.
Mm.
I just thought that if I stamp this out now, with her getting the attention that she wants, but in a positive way, that's going to work in everyone's favour.
Yeah.
She won't disrupt the class.
Mm.
And she was brilliant,
yeah.
absolutely brilliant. She was as good as gold for the rest of the class. And then a friend of mine who was one of the teachers there, she contacted me after the school holiday, said she saw the girl after the holidays, and she said to her, when's that drummer coming back?
Huh.
So it made a dent.
Mm.
You know,
right.
That's what we try and do. We try and inspire them to get involved in music, crafting, and also the environment, because that is so important at the moment.
Mm. That's brilliant. I absolutely love it.
Oh, it's fantastic. Phil, thank you so much for that.
You're welcome.
It's fantastic. That's Junk Jam. There is a link to Phil's website that describes all about this on the Kent Business Radio website. You can give a shout out if you want, Phil.
It's junkjam.co.uk. At the moment, it's just a holding page, but all the information is on there. The website's being built at the moment by someone who's very, very helpful. Neil, I can't remember his last name. Enticon. Neil Enticon. Phenomenal level of service. So that's being done. But we have our own Twitter handle for Junk Jam. It's Junk Jam 1
right.
on Twitter. We're also on Facebook as Junk Jam as well. I think Junk Jam FB on Facebook. But if you search it, you'll find it.
Yeah.
It's all very new. It's all very exciting. And we're getting down with photographs now, with getting, you know, more things onto the site. We're going to have downloadable PDFs on the website, so people can find out how to make these games, these instruments, but also inspiring them to come up with their own ideas.
Mm.
So and that'll be linked in with the YouTube channel, which will show people how to make them.
Right.
So it's we're not just going to go into a school and say, this is us, have a good day, bye. We want to have after sales service as well, really.
Absolutely.
They can just go and they can download the PDFs, they can make stuff. Crafts and things. So
I think it's absolutely fabulous.
And
we've both seen Phil in action, getting
Indeed.
An audience playing things,
absolutely.
Haven't we? And getting in tune and getting in rhythm, even for a bunch of us that have got no tune or rhythm or anything
speak
else.
Speak for yourself.
If I could jump in there, nobody sings Happy Birthday out of time.
Right.
So everyone has got some rhythm. It's just a case of finding it.
Just made it be the same rhythm as everybody else.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Phil, thank you so much
You're welcome.
Fantastic. Thank you. Phil's going to stay with us for the rest of the show. We've got a few minutes before we join the Channel Radio newsroom. Amanda's got to leave us quite early because she's got things to do. And we have got another guest to hear from in the second part of the show. So before you go, Amanda, I think you'll do a bit of work. Really?
Well, I'm just looking at this, you know, empty marshmallow thing, a different light now, is he?
Yeah, you can play it.
See, he's got me going now. Every bit of junk I look at now, it's not going to be a bit of junk. It's going to be.
I'll have that.
You can have that. You can have that back. We're going to have all these little collection of stuff now.
Right.
Recycle bin will not look the same again. Anyway, press release. Tell us how safe you feel in Maidstone.
Oh, blimey. That's from Maidstone Council, isn't it?
It is from Maidstone Council.
Yeah.
Maidstone Borough Council, on behalf of the Safer Maidstone Partnership, is calling on residents to let them know how safe they feel in Maidstone by completing a community safety survey. The consultation is asking people for their views about crime and disorder in the borough, as well as what it's like to live in their local area. Leader of Maidstone Borough Council, Councillor David Burton, said Maidstone Borough Council has been working closely with Kent Police and partners to challenge people's behaviour in the borough. Initiatives such as increased police presence in the town centre during the summer have been introduced, and it will be interesting to hear from people and understand if they have noticed any differences, both recently and in the last 3 years. We are fully committed to improving how safe people feel in the borough, and we know we cannot do this without the help of Kent Police and many other agencies. The Safer Maidstone Partnership, where many agencies work collaboratively to reduce crime, antisocial behaviour and drug and alcohol misuse, will also use the results of this consultation to develop priorities and ensure services are focused on those issues, supported by both the intelligence and the perceptions our residents have about safety in the borough. Anyone can take part in the consultation. This really is a perfect opportunity for everyone to have their say. Click here to start the survey. I can't click here.
No, but the link is below.
Yes, I know. I was just...
You were just being a nuisance, weren't you?
No, I was a bit of comedy going on there.
Oh, that was comedy. Sorry.
Click here. There you go. Click here. The survey closes on the 31st of October. If you go to maidstone.gov.uk/home/priory-services/council-and-... Do I have to really read that stuff out?
The link's on the radio website.
And also, yeah, go do that. Probably easier. But, yeah, if you live in Maidstone, help them out. Help them make the place safer.
Fantastic. I've had a tweet from James the Prop Maker. And he said, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? It's the first time I can listen live rather than on the catch-up, as I've booked a week of work to work on Brum. He's making the little car Brum. And it's going to help to raise money for the Alzheimer's Society. Really enjoying the show. So thank you, James. Good luck with that. Good luck with your fundraising for Alzheimer's. A fantastic cause. And thank you so much for supporting us on the Business Bunker Show.
Here we go. Look, I found the HGV one. So Europa Road has launched a driver academy to develop a new intake of HGV drivers to its team and help alleviate growing pressure on supply chains. Known as Europa School of Wheels, the training academy is based at Europa's One Hub groupage facility in Dartford, Kent, and has already attracted its first wave of recruits. Industry body, the Road Haulage Association, estimates there is a shortfall of 100,000 HGV drivers now, against its pre-COVID estimate of 60,000. Dan Cook, Operations Director at Europa Worldwide Group, said the COVID pandemic and the IR35 rules have accelerated an existing problem. So there you go. If you fancy doing something different, driving a HGV, don't worry, you haven't got a reverse. Check out that was at Europa School of Wheels.
Fantastic. We're going to join a Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back from that, we've got another guest to talk to, and Phil's going to be with us chatting through the rest of the show. So here we go.
Lock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is